The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, so welcome back from lunch. And for the afternoon, on one hand, it's nice to start with a meditation because it helps us settle in. And right after lunch, meditation can be more sleepy. So here's what I'm going to suggest as we do a meditation together. For you to have curiosity and investigation, if and when sleepiness, sloth, and torpor arises. So be kind of on the lookout for it. If it arises, then ask yourself what is helpful. What is helpful right now? And if what is helpful is to open your eyes and stand up, please do that. Standing up is perfectly fine. It's another form of another posture for meditation. But really bringing in curiosity and investigation to the mind, to the state of mind, to the state of the body, state of mind, all the time, checking in. So without further ado, let's get into your comfortable meditation posture, whatever that means for you right now. Allowing your back to be straight. Allowing your body to be relaxed. And dropping in to your belly, to your body, resting. Relaxing the muscles. Letting the breath breathe itself in and out of the body. This in-breath, this out-breath. And dropping the question, what is here right now? What is happening right now? Or simply, what is this? What is this? And whatever answers arise, especially if there is an emotion present, dropping the question in again. What is this? Or what is here right now? Or what is happening now? See what's underneath, perhaps, as you make space and breathe. And feel free to repeat as many times as you need to, dropping in the question, but not too many times, dropping in the questions. Too often can lead to agitation. So find your balance, find the wisdom in how many times to drop in the question. The balance between the calming factors and investigation. Through mindfulness, clearly knowing. What is here? What's here? What is this? especially if you find that your mind is getting dull or sleepy, or that the energy is receding, that's a really good time to bring in more curiosity and investigation, to energize the mind more. You can simply drop in, what is happening right now? What is here? Or what is this? And listen carefully as you drop in the question into your body, embodied mind. What is this? Maybe the answer comes up. This is sadness. This is disappointment. Or this is gratitude. Whatever comes up. Be curious about how it feels, what is showing up in the body. Investigate. Not just the thoughts, but in the body. What is the energy of sadness? What is underneath it? Not so much digging, but dropping in the question and listening and see what comes up. Sometimes it might be helpful to be curious from a distance in a diffused way. And sometimes it might be more helpful to be curious close by, just really touching into. Now I'll introduce a few directed investigations, and feel free to try them on for size or just keep it simple if you find your mind getting agitated. One directed way of applying investigation is in the first noble truth of suffering. Letting suffering or pain or difficulty be your guide. Sometimes we don't even notice that we're in pain or suffering, and we're adding insult to injury. So sometimes it helps to simply notice. and allow kindness and compassion to come in if you notice difficulty or suffering. With investigation with the First Noble Truth, you can ask, where is the suffering? Where am I caught? What's going on? Where am I caught? Are there expectations that are not met? Or is the body too tight, the mind is tight? In the midst of a problem, without having space, without having that perspective, stepping back. Sometimes simply investigating, bringing curiosity, can change the energetic dynamic, or can illuminate clinging, or wanting things to be different than they are. If you find yourself caught, drop in the question, where am I caught? What's happening now? And again, not so much thinking about it. It's not a thought exercise. It's dropping in the question into your embodied mind, into your body, and seeing what arises with curiosity. Now I'd like to invite us to shift gear and explore another investigation, again dropping it in the same way. And this investigation has to do with our intention, our wholesome wishes for our lives. It's more of an open investigation, similar to the poem by Rilke that I shared earlier. Or as Suzuki Roshi talked about it, it's finding one's inmost request, the deepest question in one's heart. In this vein, spiritual practice can be understood as a response to this sincere questioning. Questions such as, who am I? What is happiness? What is my highest intention for my life? And keep in mind that the questions themselves may be more important than any answers that you come up with conceptually. So dropping in the question, what is my highest intention for my life? What is true happiness? What is freedom? What is my highest aspiration? Love and live the questions themselves. Any reflections or questions that might have come up from this practice? Please.
I always do for the 2-for-1. Do you mind? I have both.
Question and comment, 2-for-1, go for it.
Yeah, so the comment is, like, this was really helpful for me, and as normal in life, I'm kind of just struggling with something, and it's been really uncomfortable to sit with it. And it's weird when you told, I can't remember which one now, but you said drop the question in or something, or what came back is you're doing the best you can. And that was, like, I just felt myself completely relax when that came back. And so I just spent the rest of the meditation just telling myself, like, you're doing the best you can. And, you know, and it just, I was talking about this with my friends anyways, kind of related, but somehow, like, I think it's living around here. We get the idea, like, we're machines.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, I should be able to do all this stuff, and I should be able to work all these hours and do all these things. But actually, I'm like a biological creature, and I've got psychology and all kinds of stuff going on, and actually I can't do everything. And it's humbling at first to discover that I actually have an edge, and I get, you know, I know when I get pushed there. And it's important to take care of oneself. It's humbled me for myself, but also for how I relate to other people too, because other people aren't machines either. So thank you.
Nice, and thank you. What I'm particularly appreciating what you're saying is the bringing in the question, the reflection, kind of jiggled that assumption that I'm a machine. I should be able to do all these things, kind of buying into the expectations, cultural expectations, company expectations, Silicon Valley expectations, whatever the set of expectations are, like, whoa, wait a minute, actually, like, questioning that, putting a question mark next to one's assumptions. I appreciate you saying how that kind of jiggled it open by just putting that question mark, and brought in a lot of wisdom and kindness. Nice.
Yeah, so the question is, if a person falls asleep while they're meditating, would they know? Like, sometimes it feels like I lose track of what's going on. Like, when you rang the bell and I opened my eyes, I actually forgot that I was here. And I'm not clear, like, did I maybe, if I fell asleep completely, I probably would fall down, I would guess. But was I just asleep a little bit, do you think? Is that what happens?
Probably. Yeah, it can happen. You know, there are different levels of falling asleep. Also, if you have fatigue and if you have any level of sleep debt, it's not unusual and uncommon to drop into that. So basically with, and also what I was mentioning earlier with the sinking mind, sometimes actually mind can kind of sink in a kind of a torpid place where it's not quite aware, there's not awareness. So you're not completely asleep, there's not the hypnagogic state of the images coming up, so it's not that, but the energy, the mind doesn't quite have the energy to connect and be aware. So maybe that's where your mind had kind of fallen into.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I also found myself a little sleepy, and it seemed to be a byproduct of lunch, even though I had coffee with the lunch. And I somehow intuitively decided to go that, well, I wasn't going to cooperate with it, but I wasn't going to resist it either. So yeah. I was not going to say to the inertial force of sleepiness, okay, let's go to sleep. But I wasn't going to struggle against it either and say, no, definitely don't sleep either. So I sort of managed to get this equilibrium between not giving in completely but not fighting either.
And how did that show up for you? I'd love to hear a little more.
Well, it meant that I could ride out the limited thing. It's like when you It's like when you itch and don't scratch, you know.
Right, try, okay. Try. Yeah.
And so I could limit it. I could let a little bit of the sleepiness in. And then if I felt like if I let a little in, it wasn't going to flood me over,
right,
or something like that. So that kind of seemed to work.
Yeah. Interesting. What I'm kind of hearing in what you were saying is, and correct me if this is wrong, but I'm hearing there was a mindfulness. Actually, you were working with it. You were like, okay, this is my edge. Okay, I'm not going to completely like resist and fight it, but mindfully I'm going to be with it, and I'm not going to give into it completely and just kind of like let the mindfulness go to sleep. But I'm just going to observe it and open up to it a little bit, kind of be with it. It's kind of like...
Yeah.
Great.
That's kind of what it was, yeah.
Yeah, great, wonderful. So that is one way to work with sleepiness, which is lovely. That's one version of what I recommend. And I've worked with this, so I'm delighted to hear that this lit up for you. It's like, yay, great. So in fact, bringing in investigation to sleepiness, given that that's the topic for today, is one way to work with it. It's actually fun. You become mindful. You become curious. So in what I'm suggesting is what you did plus more investigation. I appreciate what you did so you were being with it mindfully, like kind of being with it, and you described it nicely. And now I suggest, in addition to that, another way, approach B is that plus more investigation. So you're curious about what is it like to be sleepy? How does it show up in the body? How does it show up in the mind? And you're completely with it. You make it the object of your investigation. And it's fascinating. You can even be aware. There can be awareness, mindfulness, when the hypnagogic states arise, all these weird images that make no sense and they're non sequiturs and it's just a weird landscape. But you're completely mindful and you're like, this is wild what my mind is coming up with, but you're completely with it. And there can become a moment when you actually doze off because you're not resisting, you're completely with it. You doze off and then whoop, and then you wake up, you're much more refreshed and you're just like with it that moment. It can be a really interesting process.
Yeah. If I may voice a very trivial quibble, I would not have used the metaphor lit up. I would have used the metaphor came into focus, which I think is much closer to where I would say.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you're saying after you fell asleep, things became more to focus for you?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
The understanding of the process of the sleepiness, you used the metaphor lit up for me. Then I
lit up at what point? I think I used it as at the
process.
End.
You said something about this process lit up for you, I think I would use the metaphor came into focus as much closer to what happened than the metaphor of lighting up.
Yeah, so I appreciate that for you was come to focus, and for me was. It did lit up. It was
okay,
just.
For you it lit up.
It was really bright.
Okay.
It was just.
Sure.
Really, being with sleepiness in a very bright, in a bright way. So everybody's experience is different.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really like working with the edge of sleepiness because I have a very hard time reaching that unconscious. And telling my unconscious, you can relax.
Mm-hmm.
The war is over. And I like to plant when I know I'm on the edge of I can talk to it. I can plant an image like seated on a couch at Thanksgiving, completely at ease.
Hmm.
And I have control enough to let that sift down. And, you know, I really enjoy that edge because it is the only way I can really communicate with what I want to talk to.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing for you is that working with sleepiness and that edge actually helps you recognize that complete relaxation.
Yeah.
And actually what I love is that you have an embodied image with that. Like, being on the couch after Thanksgiving and I'm like full belly, yeah. You know, turkey, which is...
And nothing's wrong.
Nothing is wrong. It's just contentment and relaxation. Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So using that image to relax the heart and mind
right.
in meditation.
In a way that I can't get to it on a conscious level.
Yeah. It's so, you know, you already have it, right? Because you have that image and you know what it feels like. So even though you may not have it accessible to your thinking mind all the time, your body knows how to get there. Your body has the body memory.
I find that it's a good time to practice those desires.
Right. Uh-huh. Those desires, what do you mean by those desires?
Wanting ease, the sensation, the intent, just dropping that in when I'm so vulnerable and my subconscious and unconscious are a little soft.
Yeah.
It's just this time.
Nice.
Like a feather.
It seems like that you're in that edge of sleepiness sometimes, kind of like your quote-unquote self is a little gauzy.
Yeah.
Is a self has kind of taken the foot off the gas pedal.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a little permeable.
Yeah.
And it's easy to drop in the intention for letting go.
Right,
for
and
more
the protective
ease.
Self isn't
protective
there.
Is like,
yeah.
Nice. So appreciate you sharing that. A corollary to that practice, so lovely practice that you share for everyone's benefit. A corollary to that practice is one that I've done and learned from a Chan teacher, from a Chinese Zen Chan teacher, is the first thing you wake up in the morning, when you open your eyes, when your self hasn't quite caught up with you, who am I, what am I, what's my agenda, it's like that moment, drop, that's the moment for like really becoming mindful without the baggage of self. Like that's a wonderful practice. And I did that for a long time as I would just kind of like regain my consciousness. Like there was consciousness, there was knowing, but there was no Nikki yet. Huh. And it was just so interesting to be mindful of, to be mindful in that moment. It's a really cool practice for those of you who are curious. Check it out. So what other reflections, observations about what the guided practice was like? There was different parts to it. There was one, just to remind you, there was the dropping in the question for yourself. What's happening right now? If there are emotions or states of mind, dropping the question in again, what's underneath it? So that was one guidance. And then there was the second part of it was, let's see, what was the second part? I remember I think there was one part that had to do with your inmost request, which is who am I? What is happiness? What is my deepest intention? I think that was the third part. I thought there was a second part I guided you, and I can't remember. Anyone remember? Amy, you can. Oh, no, it wasn't that. It was, what was it? No, I didn't do that. No, I'm kind of mixing them up. Well, maybe it was just one and two. Let's just keep it simple. So any reflections about either part of those? Yeah, please.
Thank you for, I really found the third one, the deep question one mm-hmm. to be really interesting from the perspective of the body, because I kept sort of asking that, what is my deepest desire, or sort of what do I want?
Yeah.
And I noticed that my body felt different. It was like my body told me what that was.
Ah,
so
nice.
I sat up straighter. I felt more sort of like dignified in my posture.
Nice.
I noticed that my breath was deeper and went more fully through my lungs.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was like, oh, well, there you go. I guess that's what I want. Versus the first two parts, I had actually not so much been tired as... Or I would alternate between having so much energy that I was like, I cannot sit here. I have to get up. And then falling asleep. So there wasn't much of the in-between. But the third one was, there weren't that many thoughts, but the body just
opened
like,
you up.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah. So nice. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I so appreciate you talking about how you got it physically. That's what I'm talking about, people. Like, it's physical. It's really, you drop it in. It's not up here. It's just you drop it in. Your body tells you, oh, yeah, sense of integrity. This is what's true. This is what's real. Feeling and not aligned. Yeah, lovely. Great. Thank you. And I remember what the second one was. The second invitation was, where am I caught? Where am I caught? To let suffering be your guide. Where are you caught? It was the first noble truth guidance. Where am I caught? And one part of it was to bring in kindness, if you notice, suffering. And the other one is, what am I caught? Where am I caught? What are the expectations that are not met, etc.? Amy, you had your hand up. Is this still relevant? Yeah.
If I can I speak to about the third part?
You can speak about any part you want.
Okay. So that was the part that kind of was most interesting for my mind. And I think the question you asked was like, you know, what is happiness? What is real happiness? For me, I always had an answer for that, which was, oh, it's freedom. You know, I really value freedom. Mm-hmm. And then you asked like, well, what is freedom? And I was like, I don't know. Like there was a sense of like, oh, I have to explore this. And mm-hmm. kind of there was a feeling of like imagining and feeling it kind of like as a sense of feeling very light in the body and feeling very open. So
nice.
There was just, you know, as I was imagining and also feeling into maybe past experiences of, you know, what that felt like, I could feel that in the body. And then, you know, the aspiration is to really live every day with that feeling or coming from that feeling. But then there's also the thought like, well, that's not possible because it's a state of mind. It's a something that, you know, arises and passes. So it just felt like, well, it's not really possible, you know, to live every day with that.
Oh.
So I guess that's the question.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's sit with that together, you know. It is a question. It is a state of mind that you're considering. And yet, by tapping into it, by bringing it up, you actually... you get to live there more or live out of that place more and more. So it's not, I don't think it's an impossibility. It's like being connected to your goodness or your intention or your freedom. Just becoming more and more connected to it. It's like, you know, it's like taking your compass, and if compass is kind of out of whack, you're like tuning it, okay, tuned. Like if you do that every day, there's less time that it gets out of whack, right? And then when you pick it up again, oh, it's actually, yeah, it's like, it's pretty aligned. Oh, yeah, instead of if you, like, check it out, like, once a month, oh, yeah, it really needs a... You see, so it's not so far. It's not so impossible. It's actually, it's more, I mean... I'll share it with you from my own practice. It's, you know, the times that I keep coming back. I keep coming back as a practice to say my intention or my life purpose or for my purpose or freedom. Just like when I keep touching back into them, I don't stray too far away. They're right there. They're just a breath away. They're not huge contemplations away.
Right. Yeah. Thank you for picking up on that, because I think when I'm doing my daily meditation, there's a sense that I'm doing something that I'm trying to achieve. Like, you know, I'm doing compassion meditation today.
Right.
It's like, oh, I'm trying to make my mind do that.
Yeah.
And then, but then what you're saying is kind of like, you know, getting in touch with that feeling of like, okay, what's the aspiration? Oh, it's to be in connection with that.
Right.
To come from that place.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe it doesn't have to be so far. It just feels like it's far.
Yeah. It's not, because I think, as you're pointing out, it's perhaps a difference between doing and being, right? It's a perspective of doing, like I have to do to get there, whereas the being is like, you're actually there. You're living out of it. And by turning your mind to it, like, oh, yeah, it's alive. It is here. Because you touched into it already. Like you were saying that, in this guided meditation, oh yeah, it's there. Ah, it feels spacious and it's lovely, but oh, it's so hard to get here. No, it's not so hard to get here. You just turn your mind. Within 5 minutes, you were there. You know, it just didn't take much time. This is not after end of a you know, month-long retreat. This was just the guidance I gave you within 5 minutes and you were there. You see what I'm saying? It's not as far as it appears to be. The mind makes it really far away. Yeah, it's much more accessible. It is quite accessible, Amy. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, any other reflections before we move on? Anything from the guided meditation that would be helpful to share? Okay. So we're going to take a 10-minute walking, quote-unquote, break, but it's not really a break because I'm going to give you another assignment. So as you're walking around, this is going to be another silent bio break. You are a question mark walking around. Your body is a question mark, internally, externally. What does it feel like to be a question? What does it feel like to be a question? Just open. The sense of openness. And it's so diffuse. I'm not even defining it because it's not supposed to be. It's just, does that make sense? Even though it probably does not make sense, but just try it on for size. What does it mean to you? To live a question mark. To live a question mark in your body as you walk around, as you stretch, as you go to the bathroom, as you get water. It's kind of like a Zen koan, but you're up to it. Drop it in, okay? Let's come back at 3 o'clock.